John chapter 7. The message today is the work and fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. In past weeks, I spoke to you about the Spirit's work in the unbeliever and the Spirit's work in the life of Christ. And today, the Spirit's work and His fruit in the life of the believer. I'll read a few passages, and I hope to bring ever so many more to your attention, but the first is in John chapter 7. Verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now chapter 15, Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And now let's look at Romans 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. And look at verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And now one more passage in Galatians. Galatians 5. Verse 16, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they that practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all these things that we have read of thy Spirit, and we desire that we shall be able to comprehend them and make some sort of arrangement of them in our lives. You would have us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thou dost know that you would have us to understand about the working of the Spirit of God in our lives. We thank you that we've seen how he works in the lives of the lost and in the life of Christ. And we desire to know somewhat today about his work in the life of believers. The fruit of the Spirit in the life of believers. So help us to that end, our God. Our Father, we are glad that your Son has gone back to heaven and has sent the Comforter. Our Father, thou hast told us that before he was glorified, the Spirit was with us, but he had not come to abide with us forever, but now he has. So let us understand about his work in our hearts and the fruit that he produces in our hearts, that we might be more like thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess our sins. You shall be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There was only one in whose heart the Spirit of God could begin to work as it was without changing it. Developing it, yes, but not changing it, and that was Christ. Because Christ was that holy thing. He was one whom no man could convince of sin. In him was no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. And for that reason, the Spirit of God could come immediately upon him and work with the heart that was within him. But when it comes to the believers, it is an entirely different thing. We are believers now. But when the Spirit of God began to work on us, the Apostle Paul said, we were like the rest, without any hope. We were godless. Our heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the Lord Jesus said, out of the heart proceeded fornications, adulteries, drunkenness, and he mentions ever so many sins the way the Apostle Paul does in Galatians chapter 5. So think of this. When the Spirit comes to us, he looks upon our hearts and something has to be done. Two things are given to us that he does do. We are uncircumcised in heart, and so he circumcises our heart. Or this deceitful heart, desperate, wicked above all things, it says in Ezekiel 36, he gives us a new heart. But he does not work with the old one. He first circumcises, if you look at it that way, the old heart, or he takes it away and he gives us a new heart. But until that is done, we are lost. The work of the Spirit begins with convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment. And here is the marvel that He convicts every man. It says in John chapter 1, He illuminates, He gives light to every man that comes into the world. Some more, some less, but all enough that they might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Spirit works in the heart, there are different reactions. Some behave one way, some behave another. This is what Stephen says concerning the Jews. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." So notice, the Spirit of God comes and works, and they resist the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans 2:4, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and mercy and forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after your hardness and impenitent heart." And so here are examples of the Spirit working in some, and they respond. And He works in others, and they are stiff-necked. They resist, and they harden their hearts, and their hearts remain impenitent, and so they remain lost. But concerning the believer, this is what happens. The Spirit of God comes, and at times, in a gentle way, works upon the heart. In another instance, He works mightily upon the heart. And I remember that Philippian jailer, where the Holy Spirit of God had to send an earthquake to convert him. But it says concerning Lydia that Paul and his companion went by the riverside and spoke to the women, and it said, "whose heart God opened." A very quiet, gentle thing. And I remember one man that was stumbled. We were preaching the gospel, and he wanted to be saved. He said, "But I haven't got the same experience. I don't feel the same way that I know others did, that the Spirit came powerfully upon them." If a man ever realizes that the Spirit is working in his heart and he needs to be saved, that is enough of the work of the Spirit. Because apart from the work of the Spirit, a man will never be concerned about his salvation. This is what the Savior says in John chapter 6. He said, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him." And the Spirit of God draws, and some come, and some refuse. Stephen said that. You resist the Spirit. Paul said, you harden your heart. It remains impenitent. And this is what is so sad. When the Lord Jesus went and sowed the seed, some fell by the wayside, stony places, thorns, different ways, and it said it brought forth no fruit. But some fell upon good ground and brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And this is what is so remarkable. After I have told you what God tells us in Jeremiah about the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It says this in the Gospel of Luke concerning the lost, that some in whose heart the word is sown, they have a good and honest heart. And the word of God goes into that heart, and it remains there, and they hold on to it, and it said they bear fruit with patience. What does that mean? It does not mean that in the bosom of man there are some good and honest hearts inherently, but it means that those hearts are good and honest when it comes to hearing the truth about the true condition of their heart, that they are lost, they are sinners, they are undone. And a good and honest heart says, "Yes, Lord, all of those things are true." in that sense, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I told you that when the Spirit convicts, some respond, and the ones that do respond, the ones that are obedient to the faith, are those sinners whose hearts, worked on by the Spirit of God, are good and honest and say, "Yes, Lord, I am that sinner. I have no way of saving myself." In that sense, a good and honest heart receives the Spirit of God and His message, and they are saved. But before that, the heart is lost, and the heart in its condition when man is born is not acceptable unto God. And so the Spirit is sent from heaven to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Notice, the Lord Jesus in the Upper Room Discourse said, the Spirit has come for different purposes. He comes to you as the comforter, as the guide. He comes to you as the interpreter of Scripture. But He comes to the lost to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. So think of this now. You who are believers, at one time you were an unbeliever. You were dead in trespasses and in sin. And so the Spirit who works in the heart of believers, first of all, had to work in the heart of an unbeliever. And when He did work in our heart, it says some were obedient to the faith. It says some opened their hearts to the Lord. Some received Christ as Savior. He came unto His own received Him not. But as many as received Him. These are various ways of God telling us by His Spirit what happens when the Spirit convicts. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And the Spirit draws some, and they enter in. And if you say, "Well, why do some enter in and some do not enter in?" Is it that the Spirit of God works in a special way upon certain ones and they are saved and the others are lost? If you want to make the Spirit of God a hypocrite, yes. It's like this, that the Spirit of God must work to a certain degree upon a man before he can believe. And so what He does is this. He works upon a man just up to the boundary of what is sufficient. And he stops. But then He can say, "But do you not realize I worked in your heart? You weren't saved." He never could have been saved. And that is not the way of the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus said, "You will not come unto Me that you might be saved." No. In a mysterious way, the Spirit of God works sufficiently upon the heart of every man. And some say yes, and some say no. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But some, when the light comes, they embrace the light, they receive the light, and they are the ones who are born again. And this is what God would have us to understand. So remember, first of all, the Spirit working in the life of the believer, first of all, had to work in the life of the unbeliever. We must be born of the Spirit, and He is the one who gives us life, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. But now, having made us new creatures in Christ Jesus, the work of the Spirit does not end, but it just begins. For people who go around and say, "I'm saved, I've been saved 50 years, and you look at them, and they haven't grown, they are babes, as Paul says, "You are immature, you have need of milk and not meat." He said, "You are carnal. When by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you are babes again, and you have need to be instructed in the rudiments of the world." How sad. And so some of that way, they can boast about how long they've been saved, but they cannot boast about how much they have grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is why the Spirit of God, having saved our souls, remains in us and does His work unto the day of redemption. Now, without that Spirit both saving us and working in us, there could be no development. There could be no becoming conformed to the image of Christ. And this is what people fail to understand. This is what it says in the book of Galatians. It said, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh?" And this is what some men think, that they can get life and a start by the Spirit, but after that, in the flesh, they are to accomplish everything. And Paul says, "Are you so foolish? If you began in the Spirit, you must continue in the Spirit, and you must end in the Spirit, because only the Spirit can develop truth in the heart of a believer, and only the Spirit can produce His fruit in the heart of a believer." Two are spoken of as empowering His children to bear fruit. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit." And so there is the abiding in Christ and Christ in you. And when there is that union, then just as the sap in a vine goes through it and grapes develop and grow larger and then are sweet and delicious. So this is what happens when a man abides in Christ and Christ abides in him. Or, as it says in Galatians 5, this is the Spirit. It says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control." And so this is the work of the Spirit in the heart of one who has been given a new heart, who has a circumcised heart. It is the Spirit's work to produce all of these qualities in that heart. Now think. The Spirit wants to do something in you and through you. When He works in you, what He is doing is conforming us to the image of Christ. So think of the fruit of the Spirit and tell me what was missing in the life of Christ, in His heart, as I mentioned these things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You say, "Why, that's a description of Christ." Well, of course it is. And it says, the Spirit of God is conforming us to the image of Christ. And so He wants to do something in us. And this is what is so beautiful, that He works in us, and when these qualities are found in us, then they will manifest themselves outwardly. Because there are some who have these outward manifestations, but they do not come from a heart that is genuine. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal." You say, "But you have the gift of tongues of men and of angels." Yes, but you do not have love. "And if I give my body to be burned, it profits me nothing." And so there are some who outwardly do things, but they are not right inwardly. This is what the Savior says, "Beware of those that come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening lions, they are wolves, they are those that are one thing on the inside and a pretended thing on the outside." And what the Spirit of God does is this. He begins on the inside and then works to the outside. Because, notice, the work of the Spirit is love. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, but it says in Galatians 5:22, the very first fruit of the Spirit is love. And therefore, you start on the inside and you work to the outside. Now, since this is true, Christ had told you in advance that it had to be that way. It said in John chapter 7 that the Spirit had not yet been given. But when the Spirit was given, he said in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And so there had to be the coming of the Spirit upon them before they could have any power. And it's the same today. The Bible speaks about some who have not the Spirit. But the thing is this, that when a man receives Christ as Savior, he immediately receives the Spirit of God as well as the indweller. The Lord says this. He says in Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But you might say, no, you get saved, and then the Spirit comes. The Bible says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. In the book of Acts, which is the transitional book, I can show you again and again where they did not have the Spirit. But when the book of Romans was written, the work in the book of Acts was complete, and now it is not, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? But it is, if you have not the Spirit, you are none of his. And the Spirit is ours, and he is producing his fruit inwardly, and he is manifesting that fruit outwardly, and this is why we receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Power to develop inwardly, and power to work outwardly, acceptably to God. So let's think for a moment about this Spirit. And what is so remarkable is this. As much as we read about the Spirit of God, there is not much awareness of the Spirit of God. I will illustrate it. March the 27th, 1946, as a sinner in San Pedro, California, I knelt by my cot and I prayed the prayer of a sinner to God. Lord, you've told me that I cannot save myself, but the Lord Jesus Christ can save me. I'm looking away from myself. I'm trusting Christ as Savior. And from that moment, I have never doubted my salvation. I remember getting up off my knees and going to bed, knowing full well that I was saved. And the next morning I started manifesting the fruit, because a man who had been witnessing to me came across my path, and before I'd called him Lieutenant Kuhlman, but when I saw him that day I said, Brother Kuhlman, and he said, Mills, are you saved? And for the first time in my life I said, Amen. You see, what happened inwardly manifested itself outwardly. But what I did not know, I was unaware of this, that at that time I was indwelt by the Spirit of God. I was sealed by the Spirit of God. And every other blessing other than being filled with the Spirit was mine, because these things that I'm telling you about come with salvation. They are unconditional, but the filling of the Spirit is conditional. The indwelling, once for all. The filling, time and time again. And those that stay full of the Spirit are spoken of as being full of the Spirit. But you'll find that Peter on the day of Pentecost not only had the indwelling of the Spirit, but was filled with the Spirit. And later on, he was filled with the Spirit again. And those that received the fullness of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, later on, the room wherein they were praying was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice, not indwelt again by the Spirit, because the indwelling of the Spirit is forever. And if you have not that indwelling of the Spirit, you are none of His. But the filling of the Spirit is conditional, dependent upon your yielding yourself unto Christ. This is what it tells us in Ephesians. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this is conditional. And what we are told in Galatians and in John 15 are ways that we can be filled with the Spirit and that the Spirit can produce His life in us. But some of these things are our blessings and we are unaware of them. I only knew that I once was a sinner and now I was saved. That's all that I knew. I did not know that the Spirit of God had brought me to that point, that He had revealed unto me salvation that was in Christ. I did not know that when I said yes to the Lord Jesus, I was indwelt by the Spirit of God, that I was sealed unto the day of redemption, that I was empowered to witness. I did not know any of those things. But the fact that I did not know those things did not mean that they were not true. I was unaware of them. And that is why the Spirit of God in one of His works within us is this. He guides us into all the truth. First of all, He wants us to know that we are saved. It says in Romans 8, you receive not the Spirit again unto bondage, unto fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What has happened? At one time I said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But now I'm saying, Abba, Father. And the Spirit of God within me brings those words through my lips and makes it manifest that as Christ said in the garden, Abba, Father, the Spirit of God now indwelling me gives me assurance and I say, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God seals us unto the day of redemption. The sealing is permanent. If it's unto the day of redemption, how much longer do we need to be sealed? The day of redemption is when Christ comes again. And it says, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And when He comes and I see Him, I shall be conformed bodily to His glorious body and spiritually to His likeness. Then all of those fruits that are in Him, the love, joy, and peace, they shall be manifest in me. And this is what the Spirit of God is attempting to accomplish until that day. Think of this. It says, and now, little children, abide in Him, that if He shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Suppose the Spirit of God is working in your heart, but you are grieving the Spirit, you are quenching the Spirit. Then, if that is going on when Christ comes, how can we have boldness in that day of redemption? We cannot have it. And so that is why we are to abide in Christ, and Christ is to abide in us. And if so, we bear much fruit. And what happens is this. When we bear much fruit, it says our Father is glorified. Think of the Lord Jesus, who in John chapter 12 said, Father, take this hour from me. Let me escape this hour. But he said, for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And we, at that time, can glorify God. It says in John 15, you shall bear much fruit, and my Father who is in heaven shall be glorified. And so as Christ, by giving himself on the cross, glorified his Father, so we, giving ourselves to the guidance of the Spirit, we glorify our Father who is in heaven. Now, I mentioned about the awareness of the Spirit and how unaware we are. But the Spirit of God does many things and could do many things if we were open to the Spirit, if we were yielded to the Spirit. It's this. I have never heard the Spirit of God speak audibly to me. But when Philip in Acts chapter 8 was guided by the angel, and then he saw that Philippian, that Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit of God said unto him, go join yourself to him. It says in Acts chapter 10 that the Apostle Peter was spoken to. It said, now, some men are coming. You go with them? Doubt not at all. And so the Spirit of God spoke audibly to some. Then he spoke instrumentally to others. In Acts 13, as the Word of God is being preached, the Spirit says through one of his ministers, set aside Paul and Barnabas for me for the work of ministry. And sometimes he speaks inwardly, not audibly, but inwardly, and we know the Spirit is there. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are God's sons. So think of that. Inwardly, instrumentally, and some people outwardly. And so this is the work of the Spirit in the life and in the hearts of believers. Let the Spirit have his will. Let us neither grieve him nor quench him. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for what things are possible since your Son has gone to heaven and has sent us the Comforter. He told us, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. We remember he told us that when the time comes, the Spirit would speak, not we. And so all things that pertain to life and godliness, all the expectations that you have of us, Father, can be realized by the empowering of the Spirit of God. So, Father, instead of being unaware of this Spirit, let us be fully aware of that Spirit, that we are indwelt by him, and that we can pray in the Spirit, our God, that the Spirit can give us utterance. Let us be aware of all his activity in our lives, in us, and around us, and through us. And let us not grieve the Spirit, but let us cause the Spirit to rejoice, because he has found in us someone who is like the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us to this end, we pray, and bless us. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.